Welcome inside another edition of the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. My name is Trevor Sikkema. With me is Ben Solak. And Ben, I no longer follow a team that has Gerald McCoy on it.
And I'm about to follow a team that has Gerald McCoy on it.
And you're about to.
Heyo!
I don't know if he's going to go to the Eagles, man, but that would be an interesting mix. I know, but like him and Fletcher Cox would be cool. I kind of like
right.
that. He's not going to happen.
But I mean, right, the selling point is like, hey, how would you like to become a rotational rusher,
that's what he was last year. So
yeah, so it's probably not what he wants to be. Is the main thing here. Philadelphia is probably done spending. And they have a roster spot because Chris Long retired. So technically, they could just add him. They don't have to cut anybody.
It's true.
But
Gerald McCoy, not on the Buccaneers anymore. In case you missed that, he was owed $13 million, and they cut him. Well, sorry, they didn't cut him. They quote-unquote mutually agreed
to part ways. Bro, you ain't fooling nobody, brother. No, ain't nobody trying to figure out how this went down. We all know.
Here's how it went down. Ready? Bruce Arians didn't want Gerald McCoy on the team worth a damn. Like, I don't think he wanted Gerald McCoy on the team regardless of how much money he was making. Truly. Like, I just think he was like, I don't want Gerald McCoy on my football team.
And why do you think that was?
It's a lot of people have a lot of different opinions on McCoy. I know a lot of people who even people who know former players who have said like, yeah, Gerald's soft. Like, no, but like, Gerald's not a leader. Like, people don't love like playing next to Gerald. And Bruce Arians is super into this whole like, yo, if you don't buy into like the team and like what we're doing, get out. Like, I got no room for you. So
no, not get out. Let's mutually agree that you leave.
Okay, so hold on. I'm getting to that. So I honestly think that before Arians even took the job, he was like, we're moving on from McCoy. We're taking his 13 mil, get it off the books. We're moving on from this dude. I think that they knew that before he even took the job because, tampering, whatever. I mean, Jason Light and Bruce Arians are friends, and so like they were probably talking about this in like December. So even when he got hired on January 8th, I mean, they had basically gone over exactly how this thing was going to go down, especially knowing that they were getting Bruce Arians out of retirement for this. Bruce wasn't going to come back unless he had absolute control over basically everything about this whole operation. So that's what makes me think that they were ready to move on from McCoy. And JC, our boss at the Draft Network, found out that they were going to move on from McCoy on February 1st. You don't make the decision that quick. This is premeditated. Like, you have had to have some background for it. So, anyways, they move on from him. I think that they never wanted him, basically, from the moment that Arians was hired. The reason why they had to phrase the tweet and the announcement that way, that they were mutually parting ways, is because this dude's going in the Bucs Ring of Honor. Like, he will be in the Bucs. He has to. He is one of the best players in franchise history. It's not a debate. And they have to make this as least awkward as they possibly can. Because the thing is that I think Gerald McCoy is going to go to the Saints. I think he's going to go to the Saints. I think he's going to sign for like $6 million a year just so he gets to play with Drew Brees because Drew Brees is his buddy.
Oh, man. You put him opposite Sean Rankin. And they signed the New England kid. What's his name? Malcolm Brown?
Maybe. Yeah. Did they sign Malcolm Brown?
They did. Malcolm Brown, Sheldon Rankins.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's a good front.
And then he also gets to play against the Bucs, the team that kind of has screwed him over. So, like, this is all going to go down like this. This did not break easy. And this is one of the best players in franchise history. And, like, if it was the Steelers, it'd be different. If it was the Patriots, it'd be different. They have a long list of history and a long list of players that have played for them that were very good. Tampa Bay don't. Tampa Bay does not have a long list of players. Right. In fact, they already started this Ring of Honor like 10 years ago. They're running out of people, all
right? Right, like, exactly. They're running out of people.
And so, like, McCoy would be very quickly after he retires, but it's just going to, this whole thing's going to get ugly. So that's why they did the mutually parting ways things. I think he ends up with the Saints. I really do. I know OBJ wants him in Cleveland. He already said that on Adam Schefter's Instagram.
Right.
I don't know if that happens either.
My big thing when I look at it is I say, I mean, if he wants to go chasing the money, which is not decided if that's what he wants to do or not, but he had a big contract that he just lost out on. The Colts can outbid anybody and they have a spot for him. So I look at Indianapolis. That's the spot I'd be interested in.
Indianapolis is interesting. Okay. I don't hate it. Some people were like, oh, what about the Titans? Like, would the Titans be a good spot for him? Because John Robinson has a connection with Jason Light, and like there's the Gerald connection there, and it's like, look,
sure.
If Jason moved on from Gerald, do you think he's telling John Robinson to go sign him? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, that gets out into the media, and then everybody knows Arians and Light kind of aren't, you know, on the same page, and that's a problem.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. All right, so that was the Gerald McCoy thing.
Football.
Football. Yeah. We are doing our draft mulligan series. We're still, what do we got, 12 teams left?
Yeah, that was quick math.
Well, I'm proud of myself. I was told there would be no math, but I persevered through this. Baltimore Ravens was the first team that I pulled out of the magical hat for this episode. And here's how the draft went. Marquise Brown, Jalen Ferguson, Miles Boykin, Justice Hill, Ben Powers, Iman Marshall, Dalen Mack, and then at the very end we have Richard McSorley, which is Trace's real name.
Oh, Richard. What a fella.
Ben, your thoughts on the team that took Marquise Brown away from the Philadelphia Eagles?
I mean, I'm very, very fine with them doing so. I would think that
you would be very happy with them doing so.
Rather cheerful about that. There's a lot to like. Ben Powers, Justice Hill in the fourth round. I circle as probably the two of my favorite picks that they made. I think it's tremendous value, two potential starters there. I've already talked at length about how much I like Justice Hill in that system. You can go find that podcast when we talk about
the AFC. Would you say ad nauseum?
Ad nauseum, yes, sir.
Okay.
So much so that we're nauseous. I don't really know what that means.
I always think that it means that, though.
Yeah, which we should look it up, or we should just continue living in blissful ignorance. I vote the second one. Boykin and Brown, two high upside guys, right? You've got incredible athleticism here. Brown's got the trump card, and then Boykin blew up the combine. Brown's got good film. It's just there's things missing because he's such a small player, and so he's situational. I think his ceiling is capped a little bit in that way. Boykin is just not great film, you know, only average production to go along with it. This is just not a guy who's very good at the wide receiver position yet. And so I have some complaints there, but they really needed to get pass catchers. And so that doesn't bother me too much. Jalen Ferguson's the pick at 85. And I would need to be cautious here because I spent a good amount of time poking fun at Jalen Ferguson during the pre-draft process. Got me in a little bit of trouble.
Did it get you in trouble?
Well, I made one too many 808 jokes, which I acknowledge.
He's
looking
slow.
Back, I should have made less 808 jokes. But then again, never in my lifetime had
I
had
an
NFL player run over 8 seconds.
Who went after you?
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
But
all right, so this was seriously somebody went after you. Okay.
Well, we'll chat about it.
Maybe he shouldn't have run slow.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, that's the thing is like just tell him to run a better 3-cone time. We won't have this problem. But Jalen Ferguson, I know that the Ravens have now brought in Pernell McPhee. He's back for like a really nice contract. Shane Ray's in the building.
I just like how you emphasize that. Sorry.
Pernell McPhee. Shane Ray is in the building now for I think like a million for 1 year. And so they got some veteran help off the edge, which is nice. How much do you expect from Ferguson in year one? I mean, he's a bull rusher and he fits their mold. And I'm not surprised that they drafted him. But I just do not. I think this is a high upside player. I do not think that this is a guy who has a great NFL future, I'm afraid. And so I look at other potential edges for them. I've already given O'Shane Zimenez out, I believe, a couple times.
Oh, no, are you going to take mine?
95.
Oh, no.
So I'm not taking Zimenez.
No, are you going to take my pick? Oh, no.
I went down to Max Crosby.
Oh, okay. All right, we're good.
Okay, so I went down to Max Crosby.
Wait, now I got to double check if my pick was after this pick because I feel like you would have made this pick if you could have made this pick.
I don't know what that means. Max Crosby, I went and I look at the Baltimore Ravens depth chart off the edge right now. And like I said, Ferguson fits their mold because of how much they like power, because of how much they like length. The issue here being, I think we could do for some more stand-up explosiveness. That's where Crosby wins.
All right
now,
good.
Tim Williams, obviously. of lore and of love of Trevor Sikkema, Tim Williams, not necessarily developing into the pass rusher they thought he could be.
Can we not talk about it?
Yeah, we don't have to talk about it. I'd like to bring in some more explosiveness, some better athleticism, and that's Max Crosby. So I liked it for Max Crosby with that pick at 85.
Well, Ben, if you were looking for athleticism and explosiveness, you should have gone with Christian Miller.
I very well could have, indeed. Yes.
I thought you were going to do Christian Miller because that's what I'm doing.
Get that far down.
I'm switching out Ferguson with Christian Miller. Wow, you weren't even thorough enough. Didn't even go down. It could have been a seventh rounder. Who would have been the steal?
Christian Miller and Tim Williams, two Alabama edge rushers who probably won't pan out, but we're going to love them anyway.
Listen.
God bless.
Roll. Damn tide. the next team that I picked was the Philadelphia Eagles, which you know very well. I'll go first here. I'm switching out the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Dude, watch your dang mouth, son. You're not sully his good name on this here podcast. Oh, man. A little hot under comment over here, baby.
It just went up 5 degrees in the city of Chicago because of one man. One man's blood pressure.
Air's on fire.
I'm not switching. I'm not switching Jose Cuervo. I'm not.
Couldn't do it.
Do you want me to go first? Do you want me to actually go first? I can.
You can, but a quick note on Jose Cuervo. We, Bleeding Green, they put out like a, what should his nickname be? Like you have Jose and you have Sega and you have like he's been called J-Jaw, right? And obviously John is huge Philadelphia verbiage and it starts with J-O-W, it's like J-John and stuff like that. And our Sega Whiteside quote tweeted the article and he was like, oh, this is so funny, yeah, we should figure out what my nickname is, but he didn't give a vote and so we don't know what he wants to be called.
Oh no.
He was just like, oh, this is awesome, look at these names, and we were like, what one do you like? And he didn't say anything.
I'm so anyway, good at, so, what so what Philly's, were, wait what were the choices of his nickname?
It was like, you know, because Cuervo is what he was called.
Okay, all right.
Like, you know, there was like J-Jaw and there was like Sega for like the gaming station, whatever Sega was. I don't really know, to be honest.
Oh my God.
There was something else.
How young are you?
Called him. I can find it. I am 22.
I feel like right now, this moment that we just had here, I feel like I'm Iron Man in Civil War and you're Spider-Man when he says to him, hey, you guys remember that really old movie?
The old movie, Alien?
Star Wars. When he's doing the, you're talking about in Infinity War.
That's in Infinity War, yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about Civil War where Ant-Man gets super huge and then he's got to tie his legs around so they can hit him up top so that he can fall down. That's the part that I'm talking about because Rhodey's like, Jesus Christ, dude, how young is this guy?
No, when he's on Ebony Maw's ship and he's like, oh my God, wait, have you ever seen that really old movie Alien? And just like Tony can't move. Tony's like, what sentence just happened out loud? That was awful.
I also like when Quill's like, is Footloose still the greatest movie ever made? And he's like, it never was. Anyways, all right. So the pick that I'm changing, I actually looked into changing the Miles Sanders pick because even though I like Miles Sanders, I'm like skeptical of the running back value that would have been there, especially in Philly, because I think they use committee really well. So I was like, oh, okay, I can change that second round pick and get better value out of a guy. But I really couldn't because when I looked at the Eagles depth chart, the position that I wanted to change the most was corner. And I didn't feel like there were a lot of really good corners there. If I would have put a corner instead of Miles Sanders, I guess it would have been Julian Love, which I don't hate, but I was more drawn toward keeping Sanders, going to the fourth round, changing that Sharif Miller pick. I didn't even list off the five draft picks that they had.
It's okay. I'm currently so triggered right now.
And I'm giving him Amani Arwarie. That's what I would do to switch things over.
Trevor.
So there you go.
Yeah, I cannot believe I've been in the presence of an Eagles need a cornerback truther this whole time.
All right, so the next team that we're going with is
On a campaign. Me and Zach Rosenblatt of NJ.com, because so many first round mock drafts are giving the Eagles a corner. It just doesn't make any sense. They have six guys on rookie contracts.
Well, I didn't want them to do it in the first round, but
yeah, it's just if they were to draft a rookie corner, they would need to subsequently cut a corner who's on a rookie deal. So, like, okay. I guess with Amani Arawarie value, sure. But just from a team-building perspective, like, they just have so many young, cheap corners they've already been developing. Like, there's no reason to add another one.
Yeah, but what if Jalen Mills is bad?
He is, and I don't think he's going to start this year.
Okay, great. Glad yeah, we talked this out.
They have Rasul Douglas and Avante Maddox and Sidney Jones. And,
didn't Rasul get torched a bunch last year? Which makes me sad because I like Rasul.
No, he's been getting better.
Oh, year good. Hell yeah. For him.
I mean, he's always going to be a boomer bust guy. That's the reality.
Fine.
He's, like, he's
fine.
An
whatever.
Aggressive downhill corner. But he, number one, is the best ball skills interception producing corner the Eagles have.
Oh, hell yeah, he is.
And secondly, he's gotten much, much more comfortable playing into the line of scrimmage, which is huge. And good. So I expect big things. I expect him to win the starting job over Mills in year three. But looking at the draft, you know, talking about those breakout year two, year three players is stuff that you can find on the draftnetwork.com and on the podcast maybe later this month. Ho, 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 plugging. you have to change the Clayton Thorson pick. And here's why.
But it's a fifth round.
Because he's a really – Trevor. I wouldn't draft Clayton Thorson in the 15th round. Just Trevor, I can't deal with him being on my team. I can't do it. It's like he looks like Daniel Jones. He's also wearing number 8. He's just not good. I don't like it. He's not good. And the thing about it's not he's really not good at football. And so I'm not keeping him. The Eagles have Nate Sudfeld for at least one more year. And then he'll be an unrestricted free agent. He'll likely get them a comp pick back. They bring in Cody Kessler. And so if Kessler performs better than Thorson, like, they're going to try to practice squad. Thorson's not going to do anything on the active 53-man this year. And so, to me, I look at a team right now, if they cut Andrew Sendejo, they can recoup a fourth-round comp pick. And so they really need to solve the safety three position. They haven't done it with draft picks. They really just keep cycling in young guys that are cast off by other teams. They're trying to hit, and I get it, but I think they just need to invest in the position. So I went down to, I believe it was Miami's pick? No, the Bills pick. Jaquan Johnson at 181, the safety out of Miami. I like his versatility. I like his hitting power. He's a special teams guy. I think he's a really good safety three. And he doesn't have to be any more than that. I think that's ideal for him. And so I gave him a safety, but I had one goal, and it was to get Clayton Thorson off the team. And I succeeded.
seems like a target to me, but
yeah, he was distinctly targeted.
Minnesota Vikings are up next. I actually would have I wanted
extreme
this,
prejudice.
I wanted this to be like an all bird podcast, but are there
Clayton Thorson?
Are there how many other bird teams are there? It could have been there the Falcons.
7 bird teams is my guess off the top of my head. We've probably done most of them. It's like Cardinals, Seahawks,
Cardinals,
Falcons, Eagles, Ravens,
damn,
2 other ones.
This could have been an all-bird podcast. I blew it. Could have just been an all-bird podcast. Minnesota Vikings, though, that's the team that came up next. Their first-round pick, Garrett Bradbury, followed up by Irv Smith, Alexander Mattison, Drew Samia, Cameron Smith, Armon Watts, Marcus Epps, Ole Udo, Chris Boyd, Dylan Mitchell, B.C. Johnson, and Austin Cutting. There's a lot of picks for the Minnesota Vikings
just,
in this one.
Just 5.
Oh, just 5 bird teams? Yeah, thank you for doing that. Ben, what did you think of the Vikings draft? Well, they didn't overdraft the corner, so really proud of Big Rick for not doing that.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, like, when your wife comes out into the media to – well, I mean, she didn't do it. He reported it, but still, like, it's that serious. Yes, that's the correct way to do it. I had the Vikings draft class. I gave them an A-. I think they addressed their needs really well. I really love the potential value of a few of their day 3 guys, namely Armon Watts, the defensive tackle out of Arkansas, Drew Samia, the guard out of Oklahoma, and Dylan Mitchell, 7th round wide receiver out of Oregon. My biggest complaint is that, like, I love it when teams add picks. I would try to add them, you know, in the earlier rounds. They made 5 picks in the first 5 rounds and then 7 picks in the last 2 rounds. Those are the worst picks to have. It's good to have picks. It's just, you know, maybe try to get them earlier.
Right.
Maybe try to trade.
There comes a point to where you're just trading back for, like, picks that nobody wants.
Right. Like, you've got 4 7s. Maybe try to make that into, like, 1 5. You know, and, like, it's obviously, again, more cracks at the bat is always good. And I like what they did with those 7s. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, how many of these guys are even going to make your 53 man right. if you're making 12 selections, right. right? And so that's what it comes down to. Yeah, so I had trouble finding a change I really wanted to make. When I look through Garrett Bradbury, I'm not touching Irv Smith. I'm not touching Alexander Mattison. Was there a running back after 100 I liked a lot better? Really, like, not that much better that I wanted to make the change. So, no, let's leave him there. It's an overdraft for what Mattison is, but it's okay. Drew Samia, I'm definitely not touching. Cameron Smith is kind of the name that I arrived at, the linebacker out of USC at 162, and I said, okay, well, this is a player who I think poor athlete at USC, really instinctive, really smart thumper between the tackles. Poor athlete, could he shed some weight and get quicker, get more agile? Well, he did shed some weight for his senior season, and he remained a poor athlete. Like, and they didn't solve the problem. He's just not a quick guy. And so he's a thumper, right? He's a two-down sort of a guy. And when you already have Ben Gideon, Eric Kendricks, Kentrell Brothers, you just don't really need another thumper. Like, I'm very mm-hmm. down for them to have added another linebacker, but I would have looked for a player who has a better quickness profile with more athleticism to him. And so I start looking through the linebackers that are later, and I immediately land on Cole Holcomb out of UNC, who went at the bottom of the fifth round, 173, to the Redskins. Holcomb, unbelievable athletic testing. Does not know left from right at the linebacker position right now. I mean, as raw as sushi in terms of what you're working with, but the physical tools are out of this world. And his process might be accelerated because of the Reuben Foster injury. Reuben Foster tore his ACL during OTAs for the Redskins. Holcomb might have to step up into a more active role for the Redskins early, but he's a player you really want to be doing more so stuff in year two and in year three with the starters the Vikings currently have now, Kendricks, Barr, and Gideon. Obviously now Anthony Barr back on the deal. They don't need a year one starter. It's better to develop that guy for year three. So Holcomb, I think, is a much better pro projection if you can build him up. He's the pick I would have made there.
Yeah, this one was tough for me because I do like a lot of the things that they did. And I like Alexander Mattison a lot, but that's the pick that I got to change if I'm going to find some impact because they didn't really add. I like the Armand Watts pick as well, but I would have liked to see them add a defensive player before basically pick number 200 in the sixth round. I wasn't going to touch Bradbury or Irv Smith. I thought about Irv Smith, but he's a good pick for them. And then it was awkward for me because I want to change the Cameron Smith pick. That's the one that I wanted to change the most. But there's just not a lot of options beyond him. And it sucks because the player that I'm actually giving the Vikings got picked one pick before Cam Smith. So it was like it was almost there as a perfect switch.
Oh, wow.
But I couldn't make it. So I'm giving him Charles Omenihue where they had Alexander Mattison. And I would have rather them then take a chance on a running back, probably where Cameron Smith's draft spot would have been in the fifth round. Sucks because I like Mattison a lot, but I think Omenihue as a guy who has a lot of versatility to him, who I've liked, you know, really as a north and south rusher, even more so than an edge rusher. I think he proved to me at the Senior Bowl that he was a little bit better of an edge rushing guy than I initially thought. But I still really like him as sure. a potential rotational guy to come in on third downs, those third and longs, maybe give him a couple three tech or five tech snaps, shaded more towards the inside as opposed to more just pure edge rushing. And so I liked him in getting thrown into that rotation in Minnesota there. So that was my pick for him, which kind of, I mean, like I said, it was hard for me to do because I really like Mattison. But at the end of the day, you got Dalvin Cook. Like, Dalvin Cook's the dude for you. I like having Mattison there as kind of a backup for him mm-hmm. and everything, but Dalvin Cook's your guy. Last guy that we're talking, or last team that we're talking about, the Los Angeles Rams. Okay, mm-hmm. You ready?
I'm ready to get a takeoff.
On which one? Wait, on what?
I think the Rams are a huge candidate to regress in 2019. Big, big, big regression. Big,
wow.
Like, you know, Seahawks are pushing for the division title late in the season regression.
That is a take. That's a strong take. Okay, why? Why? You tell me. You tell me why. Convince me.
Lost starters on the interior offensive line and didn't necessarily replace them with equal caliber players. Had issues in the secondary last year. Did not draft a starter. At corner specifically, I'm talking about. Desperately needed more edge rush presence off the on the outside. Did not acquire a starter there. Lost Ndamukong Suh. Did not acquire a starter. And pass rusher. They continue to be very weak on edge, linebacker, and they're getting weaker at corner and defensive tackle, and they didn't do anything about it. So I don't think the defense is going to be nearly as strong as it was. And offensively, the offensive line, Jared Goff, we know for a fact that when Jared Goff, the delta, the difference between Jared Goff clean and Jared Goff pressured is massive. I don't care how good you think he is. It no matter how where you rank him among NFL quarterbacks, pressure affects Jared Goff in a hugely noticeable way, even compared to the average NFL quarterback. They got worse on offensive line and didn't address the interior in the draft or even that well in free agency, in my opinion. So I don't see Taylor Rapp, their second round pick. He doesn't have a path to start. They've got Eric Weddle and JJ 3 on the team. Like, I don't Rapp's gonna be safety 3. He's gonna be a box linebacker sort of a guy. David Long, he's gonna be corner 4. Right now, obviously, he's going to help in 2020. I don't hate the pick. I just don't see a lot of help for the 2019 Rams. I think they lost a lot in 2018, and they didn't really replace a lot of those guys. So, to me, I don't know. I think this team's going to – and then, obviously, the Patriots laid out a pretty clear blueprint for how to slow down this offense, too, which not every team can execute what the Patriots did, but blueprint's out there. I don't know. Rams worry me a little bit.
Yeah.
Then again, Cooper Kupp's back, so they're probably going to put up 45 a game and screw me. But that's my take.
No, it's really sure. That's a very interesting take. We're gonna old takes expose the crap out of this episode, so just hope you're ready for it. I think it's an interesting. Okay. Certainly, Goff is a guy who is very hot and cold when it comes to pressure. I think he was a little bit better, obviously, this year than he was last year. I don't know how much of a progression or a next step we're gonna see in his third year. That's to be determined. But the Patriots. I'm wary on saying that the Patriots gave a blueprint, though, because when I was looking at kind of some of the behind the scenes, like even like reporting and listening to quotes to coaches and players and everything, it seems like the Patriots really even like changed their own identity because they knew that Sean McVay was going to be so heavily based on like the film of what New England had already put out there. And New England almost kind of rolled out a different defensive strategy than they had in like months, and McVay just like did not prepare for it. He's like, they haven't run this coverage since the middle of the season, and they're running it now like primarily in the Super Bowl. And he was basically like, we've never practiced against this because the Patriots hadn't run it in 3 months. So I don't know, I do see what you're saying. Certainly with the offensive line, that's a big concern. I think that's a really big concern that they didn't address.
Yeah,
and
I think the Patriots. Yeah, and when I talk about the blueprint, I think the Patriots did two things that really interest me, which is number one, which was very well documented during the broadcast, the rotation of coverages post-snap after the 15-second mark, whatever it is, to make Jared Goff operate without Sean McVay, I think is huge.
Oh,
number
yeah.
one. And then number two, yeah. just the ability to overload one side of the line of scrimmage and to take away the Rams' ability to just gash you with wide zone. And when you took away that fundamental aspect of their running game, they couldn't lean on that to create – you know, they're big play action deep shots to the right. extent to which play action is relevant to the running game. The Patriots did a lot of simple things really well to negate what an offense that tends to make defensive coordinators' heads spin. And that tape's just been sitting there for months now. You know, and so it'll be interesting to see. I don't know. I think the Rams can take a step back. But yeah. for their draft mulligan.
Yes, go on. Go ahead.
Yep. Yeah. As I alluded to, obviously Eric Weddle is not a long-term option, and I respect the interest in adding another secondary player. I'm a big Taylor Rapp fan. I think 61 was the right sort of value for him. I do not see a year one starting role for Rapp behind, as I said, Eric Weddle and then JJ3, John Johnson, who has, I think, been tremendously well-developed for them over the past couple of years. So I look at Edge, where Dante Fowler was acquired via trade. Opposite him is Samson Ebukam, John Franklin Myers, I mean, Trevon Young, Josh Caraway, stop me, Obinna Okoronkwo. Like, it's just a bunch of day three guys and later who really I just don't think are high ceiling players right now. Like, I'd love to see John Franklin Myers continue to develop. He had a really, I think, intriguing 2018, but I'm not willing to go any deeper than that. And so I look at Jakai Polite, went to the Jets at 68. To me, for a team missing a first round pick, to have Jakai Polite on the board and potentially steal a first rounder because of some off-field concerns, when you're ready to compete in 2019, I think that should have been a no-brainer pick. They instead elected to take Rapp, who is just lower impact to their defense. And so I gave him Jakai Polite, and I think it would have been a slam dunk pick. I would have loved it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly Jakai, when he was at the Combine talked about how his meeting with the Jets was one of the only meetings that he actually enjoyed. So that's a situation where when you look at Jakai Polite and you look at his tape on the field, you go, wow, this guy's a first rounder, no doubt. Like, this is a top 15 player in this draft, no question about it. And then the draft process is what really betrayed him, starting with really the combine, when he talked about how teams were just like bashing him and all this kind of stuff, and you were wondering what he was talking about. But then the bright spot was the Rams. That he was outspoken about how awesome his time was the Rams. So it's clear that Jakai, from an overall standpoint, the NFL didn't really trust this guy to learn how to handle himself as a pro, to always be the best he needed to be, stay in shape, be motivated, whatever it was. And it was very clear that this Los Angeles team was a team that he was comfortable with, which might have gotten the best out of him. So certainly this was an option. I thought that this might have been an option on draft weekend. It didn't end up happening. I'm switching to Taylor Rapp pick at the top as well. I would have loved to give them an offensive lineman. I would have loved to. They just weren't there. They did not pick until 62, was it? Is 62? So it's like, I mean, all of the good offensive linemen were just 61. Off the board. But yeah, 61, there you go. Before the Rams even got the chance to pick here and make this selection. So I know that they have Eric Weddle playing that free safety role, but I gave him Juan Thornhill. I'd make the switch there because I think that he gives you much higher of an impact on the ball than Taylor Rapp does. I think Taylor Rapp's a very solid player. He's a guy who will not miss many tackles. He's going to be very solid for you. But kind of, I think what you see is what you get with Taylor Rapp. He's dependable. He's consistent. You like that. But I don't know how much of an impact on the ball he gives you. And when it comes to this Los Angeles team, and this is the same thing with what I would say, like the Kansas City Chiefs, you are just looking to get the ball back. That's it. Because the more chances you have to play offense, the better chances I'm giving you to win the football game. So give me a guy that gives you a chance to get some takeaways. That's what the Rams' MO should have been in this draft. And they picked a guy who I thought was a really safe pick, solid pick, good football player, not the high-end player on the ball that you would need the most for what works with this Rams team.
See, that's what that's it. And like, and I like, I'm big on turnovers, and you know I am, and we agree on this wholeheartedly. But that should be the Rams' great fear, is becoming the Chiefs, which is becoming a team that can run it up on anybody and can make great noise in the regular season. And once they get against playoff offenses, they just do not have the defensive firepower to hang. Like, and it's just they have to win multiple shootouts to get to the Super Bowl.
But I mean, like, they do.
I think they did.
The Chiefs should have won the Super Bowl, man.
I'm not sure they do. Oh, you're talking about the Chiefs? The Chiefs did not have the defense to survive a playoff run.
The Chiefs
didn't? They still don't. The Chiefs didn't. The Chiefs had no corners.
They were one offsides call away from going to the Super Bowl.
Right, and then you go to the Super Bowl and you have to win another shootout.
But they would have.
It's just, I'm saying, like, okay, but like, but I think that if you can win the three shootouts in a row necessary to win the Super Bowl, great. But that shouldn't be your late season plan. Your late season plan should be, and we'll have the defense to be able to hold the Patriots to 10 points.
Forget defense, man.
Hold the Patriots to 13 points. I will not forget defense. It's the other unit.
Trying to score points.
I agree with trying to score points, and obviously the Chiefs have a formula that gets them to the championship game, but I'm saying once there are four teams left, you don't want to have the worst defense of the four by a lot. That's
doesn't
a problem.
Matter if you end the game with the most points. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
But there's two ways to go about that, but this is another podcast.
This is definitely another podcast. We got eight more teams to go, eight more draft mulligans, and we got Fan Friday coming up on Friday, and then we're going to give you guys a little bit of a preview into what we're going to be doing next week and the following weeks as we start to get into our summer scouting series. We start to get into some of these 2020 teams. We're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. We're going to be checking in with NFL teams as training camps and mini camps and all that kind of get underway. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.